verses 28 through 30. All right? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is what Matthew writes for us. I'm reading, which is normal. Some of you ask me all the time, what do you preach from? Right? I'm preaching from the English Standard Version. And in the English Standard Version, it reads like this: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What we realize here in this passage, in understanding the grace of God and the gospel that we have been given, is that when Jesus calls us, when he says, "Come to me," he's calling those individuals who are under a heavy burden that they cannot care for themselves. So he is, by nature, our coming to Christ is a realization that we are not strong enough. I'm not strong enough to live this life the way that God intended me to live this life. And so Jesus has to come. He has to empower me. He has to walk beside me. He has to strengthen me so that I can walk with him, right? And he says, and when you do that, when I come to him and I lay down at his feet who I am, he promises something here. He promises, "I will give you rest." He doesn't say, "Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will make things harder. I will make things more stressful. I will make it an exhausting thing to follow me as your Lord and Savior." He says, "If you come to me and you surrender yourself to me, I'm going to give you rest. You can rest in me." I was listening to this passage this winter with some fellow pastors. Of course, pastors are all mature in the faith, right? And so should think correctly about these passages of Scripture. And one of the pastors there, a good friend of mine, he says, "I know that's what it says, but that has not been my experience." How many of you can say that, right? My Christian walk has not been an experience of rest. I think that that is true because we have not accepted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for what it is. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So come alongside me. Let me carry the burden. Learn from me. This yoke that I've been instructed in is a yoke of training, where the one who knows the way to go shows the one who is too weak which way they're supposed to go, right? And so he trains us, he guides us, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's going to move us along. I'm doing driver's training with Charlie right now. This is an exciting time. We drive for 1 hour every day. And except the last 2 days, right, Charlie? We got a little break. But we drive for 1 hour every day. And here's what I've learned while we're doing driver's training. If I'm relaxed, he's relaxed. If I tense up, he tenses up, right? Jesus is not pulling us along. He is not tense. He is not in a struggle. He is just saying, come along with me. Follow me. I am going to show you the way. And when we stray away from that, he goes, "Come back here. Come back here." Not me. That's not what I do. I say, "Get over here," right? "You're going, what are you doing?" Not Jesus. Jesus says, "Come on. I am gentle and lowly in heart." Jesus isn't trying to prove anything. He's just trying to bring us along to where we belong. So we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and we look at the instructions the Apostle Paul gives to the church at Corinth about taking communion together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. He writes this: "But in following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give direction when I come." Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come together to understand this precious gift that you have given us in your table, remembering what you did for us on the cross, may we be individuals who approach this in a way of examination of where our hearts and minds and lives are, and may we surrender to loving you and following you and trusting you with the cares that we hold on to so tightly. May this time that we have together remembering what you have done for us bring you great praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first of all, we see that Paul is not pleased with the way they're taking communion. This is what he's upset about. He's upset about how they take communion. And we're not talking about the procedure, right? There are a lot of different ways, different procedures that are just fine. I actually went to a church once that I'm not sure how sanitary this was, but they passed around entire solid pieces of bread, and you would rip bread out of the bread as it passed by. So every single person in the church had their hands on it. It was kind of gross to me, but it was not problematic theologically. It was good, right? And I've been in communion services where everybody takes their bread and they dip it in a cup and then they pass the cup, and they did that and it was appropriate. And I've been in services where everybody gets up and they go to a table and they take a cup and they take the bread and it's appropriate. Here, we pass out one tray. And there are two cups, and the bread's on the bottom, and the juice is on the top, and you take both cups, and you separate it, and you wait for everyone. Which I think the waiting part is the crucial part of what Paul instructs us here when it comes to the process. But that's not the major thing that he is upset about. He says, "But in following instructions, I do not commend you." So he says, listen, I told you how to do this, and you're doing it wrong, right? This is like when we tell our kids, go clean your bedroom, and then we go downstairs and we say, no, this is how you clean your bedroom, and we go and check again, and we say, no, this is how you clean your bedroom, right, over and over and over and over. We're not pleased with the way that they have done it. Paul is not pleased in the way that they are taking communion. He is not pleased because this act of worship, which is what communion is supposed to strengthen them. And it's adding to their sinfulness as a body of believers. So they've taken this, the church of Corinth has taken this gift that Christ has given, and instead of using it as something that will strengthen the body together, it's becoming another way of sinning as a body of believers. Because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Why? Why is it sinful? First, they take communion together, but they are not living in right relationship with one another. It's the first problem. So he says, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. So, first thing, there's something that Paul says we have to deal with when we come to the communion table. And we are, this morning, going to do this in a very literal sense. So as all of you this morning bow your heads and close your eyes, I would like you to think about, is there anyone here in this church building who you are not walking in right relationship with? And if it's so, nobody's looking around, nobody is gawking and staring, but I would like you to get up, and I would like you to go to that person right now, and I would like you to ask for their forgiveness. And if there's anyone here who needs to grant forgiveness to an individual, I would like you to get up from your place, and I would like you to go to that person, and I would like you to say, I forgive you. Why do I forgive you? I forgive you because Christ has forgiven me. That's why I forgive you. And if there's anyone here who has talked badly about another individual in this church, I ask that you would call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I have not been pleasing in my words. I have been a gossip and a slanderer, and I have hurt this individual. And I would like you to ask forgiveness of the Lord. I would like you to make a commitment to make that relationship right, to correct what you have said. And if there is anyone here this morning who has been frustrated with the decision that another person has made, that you have felt like they have stepped on your toes and there is an anger in your heart towards them, I ask that you would go to that person, you would ask for their forgiveness. As we all seek the Lord in this thing, in a desire to be in right relationship with one another as we approach the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask for his blessing on it, that our hearts would be pure and honorable before him, that our relationships would be right and good, and that God would be blessed in the thing that we are doing. Lord, I ask you to work in our hearts this morning, to convict us of this sin if we have sinned against one another, to care for this thing, to lovingly reach out to them, to bring you praise and honor and glory in the way that you can restore a relationship that has been broken because of our own sinful flesh. And may we walk in this thing in the Spirit of the Lord together. In Jesus' name, amen. So the second thing he says, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. So they're not thinking of those. He says that when you come together, you're not thinking of those. They are not thinking of those around them and their need. They're remembering the ultimate act of unselfishness and only thinking of themselves while doing it. All right? So he says, listen, when we're coming into communion together, we're not thinking about those who have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not thinking about those who need to be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are only thinking about ourselves. And he says, this is not the right mindset. He says, in doing so, it is apparent in the way that you do it. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. So they go, they grab the bread and the juice, and they eat it, right? One goes hungry, and another gets drunk. So he says, and some of you want to make sure that you get your portion, so you take a whole lot more. You're forgetting about those people who are coming behind you. The interesting thing about this is that in these churches, even in these New Testament churches, guess who got to go first? The honorable, the wealthy, those who were of a position of dignity amongst the church. And so they would go first, and then the poor and the weak, they would come in afterwards, and there would be nothing for them, and they weren't allowed to participate then in the communion table. So we say this morning we want to think about ourselves and say, all right, am I thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the love he has for us? Or am I only thinking about myself and what I want and what I desire and what I will gain from this? In verse 22, he says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? So those individuals who have much seem to be going first when they have food and drink at home. And those who are poor are left standing on the outside with nothing. You know, James spoke pretty harshly about this. In the book of James, he spoke pretty harshly about putting a poor man in the corner because he was unfit to participate. He says, your religion is not working very well. Then he says, what shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? He says, you're doing these things wrong. You're not living in right relationship with one another. You're not thinking about Christ and what he did for us on the cross when you come together. You're thinking about yourselves and your own selfishness. Should I commend you in this? He says, no, I'm not going to. This is not good. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you shall proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then Paul gives a warning for those who are going to participate in the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood and the body and the blood of the Lord. Now this word is not, it is poorly translated unworthy, because when we think of unworthy, we think of an individual who is righteous enough to do it, right? But Paul is not talking about the Greek word is not talking about a position of righteousness. He's talking about a mindset, all right? Are you doing it with the correct mindset, not with the correct standing? Does that make sense, right? Is your mind right when you're coming to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we have these questions to ask. Those who do not approach taking of communion in a Christ-like mindset, revering what Jesus has done, will be found guilty of abusing the blood and body of Jesus. Here we ask, if you have used the grace of God as an excuse for sin, then you have not understood Christ's likeness, and your mind needs to change before coming to the table of Christ. We've been talking about Romans and the grace of God. What does it mean to live in grace? It means to not, first of all, not abuse the grace of God that's been given to us, right? He says in Jude chapter 1, listen, this is what Jude has to say to us. Jude 1, 3 through 8 says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the day. So he says, listen, we have to be careful when we come to communion together, because there may be those among you who have accepted the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and have used that as an opportunity to live out the flesh. And that cannot be. And so the next thing I ask you to do is to examine yourself as we bow our heads, close our eyes, we examine ourselves and say, have I been abusing the grace of God and living in sin, relying upon the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to save me and disregarding what he has said? If I've done this, if you have done this thing, I ask that you would call out to the Lord Jesus Christ in confession, that you would say, Lord, I have been abusing the grace that you have given me. I seek your forgiveness. I want to follow you. I want to honor you. I want to live out the salvation that has been granted to me through your blood shed on the cross and the new life that has been given to me through your resurrection.